So first of all, thank you for welcoming me here to your community. And to answer the question that was raised, we'll first begin. I just want to reflect back. Just reflect the Torah that I've heard in Phoenix since I've got here a few hours ago. Just want to reflect that back. Yeah. It's interesting Medrash in Tanchuma, this week's parasha, that Moshe Rabbeinu foresaw in Ruach HaKodesh, you know, divine inspiration, that the Beit HaMikdash will be destroyed and we will stop bringing Bikurim. And he already established back in the desert that Jews should daven three times a day. You have to daven three times a day, every day, just because you don't have the mitzvah of bringing that fruit that you bring just once a year. Right? Davening three times a day, every day, is to supplement for not having Bikurim. Right? Just doesn't seem fair. Yeah, we got three times a day, every day, and yeah, you just for saying it happened once a year. Right? So to reflect back, I'm not going in chronological order of the Divrei Torah that I heard tonight, but we heard, what's his name, Ronnie? Yes, heard Ronnie talk about, you know, Bikurim being a reflection of Reshit, right? And also, you know, it's Reshit Pri Adama, which reflects back on Bereshit, Bishul Yisosh Nikra Reshit, Bishul Atosh Nikra Reshit. So now just to go into that point a little bit deeper, right? The Reshit is point of origin. Point of origin, you know, and that's what the Torah does. The Torah's Nikra Reshit, that, you know, aside from the fact that Torah was point, you know, was the original point of origin of creation, Istako Boraiso Bor Alma, the Reshit, you know, the beginning of the creative process, was that Kosh Hu projected the Torah, and from that the whole world branched out. But it also tells you what Torah does for us. Torah brings us back to point. You know, point of origin, keeps us connected to God. You know, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Reshit HaMachshava, right? And that's what we're meant to do. You know, that's why also it's also to the same word Bishul Yisrael Shnikru Reshit. Am Yisrael is this people that are supposed to be connected to God. And as a matter of fact, you know, Chazal says, so Yisrael Olu B'Machshava Tchila, the first thing that God thought of even before the Torah was Am Yisrael. So even though they're both called Reshit. But if you want to make one first and one another one second, it's Yisrael and then the Torah, because there has to be a people for the Torah. There has to be receivers. Otherwise, what do you need a Torah for? If there's no one that's going to accept it and live by it. So we're all rooted in that point called Reshit, which is, you know, the closest thing to God himself. His Reshit HaMachshava. That's why we're called his Ben Bechor, right, his firstborn son, because we're the first thing you ever thought of, right? As close as God. So, and that was the power of Bikurim. The power of Bikurim was, you know, there was Reshit Pri Adama. First, now everything follows the first. So second, third, fourth, they all follow the Rishon, the first. And it's Rishon, Reshit, all have the Shoresh Rosh, head. It's the leader. Everyone follows the leader. So now it's hard for us to relate to. That, you know, because we don't live in an agrarian society like they did, but they were, these people, you know, were very, you know, these people did not, you know, they realized that, you know, it doesn't really come from the supermarket, right? they knew where it comes from, you know, and how much you have to pray for it. So now, if you give the Reshit Pri Adama back to Hashem, right, you don't steal it for yourself, you don't take it for yourself. You want to leave the Reshit associated with the Reshit. You give it back to God. And that means that all the other food you'll be eating for the rest of the year is all going to follow that lead. And you'll never forget about HaKadosh Baruch Hu ever. Because the beginning of that harvest, you know, the Reshit, you connect it with the Reshit, right? So you'll never forget about God for the rest of the year as long as you're eating from, you know, those fruits. Because it all follows that lead. Now, because we don't have the Bikurim, we don't have this way, you know, the Radziner explains, we don't have this way to, you know, to be, we're always cognizant that our Parnassah comes from Hashem. Right? If we give the Reshit of our Parnassah back, So everything secondary all follows that lead, and you realize this is all from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? Since we can't give the Reshit back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's detached from the root. Right? The supplement for that has to be to daven three times a day. And why three times a day? Because time changes, you know, even though it's all one day, but it's still, there's morning, afternoon, night, right? And the Kuzari says, you know, the changes of time reflect also meal times, right? You know, you eat three times a day, right? So there was no first of that set to keep it all connected to Hashem. So each character now is on to its own. So that's why you have to have a davening. You have to have a shachris connected, you know, breakfast time, connected the morning, and mincha connected lunchtime, and maariv connected, you know, dinner time. Right? That's what you need, because we're missing the tikkun of putting the reshit back into the reshit, right? You know, so we have a life that's detached. So since it's detached, there's no unity. That's why every separate thing needs its own tefillah, its own tefillah, its own bracha. Right? So the whole point is, you know, to stay attached to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? Who's the real reshit, the real leader. So now, even though. So just to go a little bit deeper, I want to now go back into connect this to what Rav Shosham said this evening at the Shloshim. You know, he spoke a word from Rav Yochanan Zweig about the, you know, why it's so important to be besimcha. Now, I was privileged to learn by Rav Yochanan Zweig myself, and I actually heard that word directly from him, but I heard a different version of it. And I'm sure Rav Yochanan Zweig said it in many different versions. Baruch Hashem, he's been teaching for 50 years or more. I'm sure he said it in many different. So I'd like to share with you the way I heard it from him. And he posited the following question. He said, "You get old because lo avat Hashem lokecha besimcha to love merov kol. Right? You weren't happy. Where does it say the Torah to be happy? Where did the Torah ever legislate you have to be besimcha? That's a pasuk and a nach." Right, so that came later. Where in the Chumash does it say you have to be? Where does it say? Where does it ever legislate that there's such a law that we are therefore in violation of? So he said, "Anochi Hashem Elokecha." That's what he said. "Anochi Hashem Elokecha." The command to believe in God mandates that you be happy. The very mitzvah of emuna in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right, because in his words. Right, so we have to live in a theocentric reality, a reality where Hashem is the center. And what's called the center in space, in time, is called Reshit, the first. There's infinite points on a plane, but no two centers. Right. And also in time, you could have points, but there's only one first. Only one first, no two firsts. Right. You have a second, you have an infinite, you know, in the series. Yeah, so what Reshit is in Zman is what Merkaz is in space, right? We have to put God in the center. If you put God in the center and everything is His will, what's there not to be happy about? What's there not to be happy about? This is what He wants, and that's reality itself. Zeh ma sheyesh, because He is the Emet. So whatever Ritzono is the Emet, and you have no cause for dissatisfaction, right? If a person who's unhappy is not in a theocentric reality, said Rav Zweig, but in a egocentric reality. I'm the center. You're putting yourself there. You're making yourself the reshit. You're making yourself the reshit. And it's all about me. It's all about me. And I'm not satisfied. Right? So he was saying that, you know, simcha, right? Simcha is a function of emuna. Right? And then years later, after I heard it from him, I saw it's actually in the Maharal. The Maharal says the same idea. A person who is be'emuna is always besimcha.
He'll do the root beer.
Yeah.
All right.
Which one you started with?
This song is
done. Everything. Everything is.
Yeah.
I'm like.
Come on.
I'm sitting here in front of the computer.
So. Right, but anyway, but it comes out that a person who's not besimcha, it's because he's making himself the reshit, as opposed to connecting to the real reshit, is what we did with Bikurim. Give what we call our reshit back to him and keep the reshit connected to the real reshit. And a person who's unhappy, he's making himself the reshit. Magiali. He's making himself the center of the universe. And Anochi Hashem Kach is to make God the center of the universe. Right? It's all about just pleasing him. Right, and therefore that's why you should be happy with whatever you have, because if that's what he wants, that's reality itself. It's like being unhappy of why you don't have wings. You know, there's a traffic jam, it would be good to get out of the car and fly, right? Yes, right? It's not realistic. Right, so you have to realize that your lot in life, you know, that if it's Hashem's will, that is reality itself. Your being unhappy with it is like you're being unhappy that you don't have a set of wings. Right. And okay, so now with this, but it goes the other way, and then this gets back to the question that Ronnie asked me, right? So
you repeat the question again, just so.
Go ahead. Please repeat the question for Mr. Sebag.
So the question is with the lashon that's used in Tachanun, and if we keep true historical perspective about our lives throughout history, and if we're being clear and being honest and not being spoiled and being truthful and being grateful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have such an unbelievable level of comfort and security in our lives. With, generally speaking, in the historical context, not much, tzara. And so therefore, how do we come to bring ourselves to say the words of Tachanun that make everything sound so devastating? And doesn't that seem like we're spoiled children, not being grateful for, well, you know what? We actually, Baruch Hashem, don't worry about our whatever it is, chas shalom, our
food.
Pick anything you want.
Waiting 40 minutes for the
right. Oh, God forbid! I had to wait 40 minutes for my server to bring my food. Oh, this is so horrible.
Terrible. Yeah.
Versus, versus when Yidden lived in villages in pick any time of history. Anywhere you want. They're worried about their houses being broken down and people being murdered. And how do we come to say Tachanun and it not be an insult to lack of gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So that's my question.
Okay. So now we've made the question worse by pointing out if the chiyuv, what Rabbi Zweig told me, in my version I heard from that, the chiyuv to be happy is Anochi Hashem Elokecha, to believe in God,
right?
Because put him at the center, he is reality, and if you are you have your desires, you're usurping his place in the universe. You're making yourself the center. You want to make yourself the reshit, right? So then the question is, no matter how bad you have it, how could you ever complain? Right? It goes to the other extreme. Right?
Because look at all you have.
What?
Because look at all you have, even if
it's... So if it's God's will, then what's there to complain about? If everything's God's will. So the Nefesh HaChaim deals with this.
To be Obed B'Simcha would say, I'm Simechopta.
Yeah. No, there is a famous story from the Mezritch that the famous brothers... Rav Shmuel of Nicholsburg and Rav Pinchas Horowitz, who was the Haflo and the Mikne, who were both, besides for being, they were both very big Gedolim, even, the Pinchas Horowitz wrote the Mikne and Haflo, and Rav Shmuel of Nicholsburg actually had a big yeshiva in Nicholsburg that a lot of Gedolim learned in. So they went, they were, but they also, you know, they were also by the Mezritcher Magid. And they once pondered this question, how can you really serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'simcha if you are deprived? Mm-hmm. He said, I want you to ask this question to Rav Zusha of Hanapoli, mm-hmm. you know, the brother of the Noam Elimelech. I want you to ask him that question. Tell him I sent you, ask this question. So so where does he live? The Magid told him, you know, where he lived. And they walked in, you know, there wasn't even a front door. He lived in like in a broken down hut. He didn't have furniture sitting on the floor, you know, and, obviously malnourished. And, they said, the Magid sent us to you. Said, you know, what does he want? He wants us, you know, to ask you this question. How could a person live in such terrible deprivation, serve Hashem b'simcha? He says, the Magid couldn't tell you. I mean, well, what do I know? Zusha doesn't know anything. He never said I, because that would be, because there's only one I, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. He used to always say Zusha, mm-hmm. right? Yeah, right. So speaking of Anochi Hashem Elokecha, there's only one I. And they said, Zusha doesn't know anything, Zusha. But maybe the Magid meant, you know, that we should ask you how you serve Hashem b'simcha. So what's the question? I have everything I need. So the question is, you know, how could anyone ever complain if they are really real that whatever it is Ritzono Yisbarach? So Nefesh HaChaim explains this. He says, you know, it's not about us. It's about him, because he created the world lehetiv. Rebbe Roshem created the world, right? Shalom Lech. Yochanan back off. Good to see you. All right. Yes.
Wow. How are you?
Good.
Gosh, I
can't
believe I'm seeing you.
Right. I can't
believe you're
on the
talk.
Yes.
Yoni, the
boy
takes care.
Right.
It's energy.
Right, definitely. Chaim.
Are you a Mormon?
I have to check your Hasidic card.
Yeah, I don't need that either.
Oh boy. Yeah. You look like my father now. You filled the fish also?
For breakfast, for lunch.
Came to the right place.
only when you're thirsty.
Right. So okay. So the Nefesh HaChaim says, we daven because Rebbe Roshem wants us to daven. There's a, look, if you're happy with whatever you have, why are you davening? That was give me. Happy with whatever God gave you. Yeah. All right, so now, aside from the other factor that we mentioned earlier a few minutes ago, that davening helps you remember where it came from. We don't have the bikurim to instill this in us year round, right? But you know, but we make bakashot pratiot, you know, things, you know, aside from the nusach hatfilah of Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. So Nefesh HaChaim says, you have to daven because the Rebbe Roshem wants you to have it good. Because he created the world lehetiv. Right? And Ritzono Yisbarach is not upheld if the world is lacking, because his Ratzon is lehetiv. And of course, if the world is lacking, it's our fault. Because he Mitzido Yisbarach, wants to give.
Infinite giving.
We're blocking it. That's against the divine will. Right? So he writes over there, the proper kavan of davening is Rebbe Roshem lema'ancha, because you want that anything that's chaser should be filled in, that the world should be shalem, betachlit hashlemut, right? The epitome of, because that's your will. That's why we daven. To do his will, that the rotzen to create the world and be meitiv should be fully fulfilled.
When you say lema'ancha Elokim.
That's right. Right, that's his whole rotzen. right? I mean, once we're talking openly, it's a safe space, right? We have in our folklore, you know, that, you know, stories that a Rebbe, he lost his chelk l'mavo because the episode nidnut kal shebekal v'chet, that Lafia's madrega is terrible, and when he heard it, he was dancing, because now I'm serving Hashem l'shmo, right, not to get any reward, right? We have that story in our folklore. Yeah, it's not from any credible source. Then we have another story in our folklore attributed to the Vilna Gaon, right? That there was 1 year there was no Esrogim. And, the Talmud of the Vilna Gaon, he has to have an Esrog for Sukkot. And they went like a 30, 40 mile radius. They came to an inn and they saw a guest in an inn holding an Esrog. Say, would you sell it to us for the Vilna, you know, give the Vilna Gaon? You heard of Vilna Gaon? So I'll tell you what, I'll give the Esrog to the Vilna Gaon on condition that the schar of the mitzvah goes to me.
Ooh.
That's it. No, I mean, I don't want money. I'll give the Esrog, but the schar of the mitzvah goes to me. All right? So I said, we have to ask the Vilna Gaon before we agree to this thing. So he went and said, I love the arrangement. I love it. All right? Because that way I can really do it lishma. Are the two stories the same?
Sounds
to the shallow mind. They sound the same, right? Right. Okay, I just needling him. Right. So Maroshir of Yaakov Weinberg, said, listen, we don't know if either story really happened, but philosophically speaking, the first one is Sheker. The story of the Vilna Gaon could be Emes.
Wow.
Why? That you should do mitzvahs and no one gets Olam Haba? What's the whole point? The Rebbe should create the world lehetiv. And you have mitzvahs to get the hatava, just it shouldn't be Nahamar Kisuv, it shouldn't be bread of shame. But that's the whole divine agenda. He doesn't need our mitzvahs. He wants to be meitiv. Except for our good, right? You know, we have to do mitzvahs, so it shouldn't be Nahamar Kisuv. And so you do mitzvahs and no one gets Olam Haba? That goes against the whole Tachlis Abriya. No, but the story of the Vilna Gaon could be true because the divine agenda of being Meitiv is fulfilled, just I'm not the beneficiary. But a mitzvah is done, Hatava is granted, right? And after I heard from the Rosh Yeshiva, I subsequently found it in the Ruach Chaim from Chaim V'Lajner, the Vilna Gaon's Talmud. He says in one of his Pirushon Mishnah, not referencing the story, just the concept, that you say, yeah, you shouldn't do mitzvahs for the sake of Olam Haba, because that's not lishma. It's mefurish in the Rambam Hilchos Tshuva. You have to do mitzvahs lishma, right? But you should want to make it to Olam Haba because God wants to see you there. He wants to meet you in Olam Haba. That's where He wants to meet you. That's why it's important to get to Olam Haba. So your mitzvahs are to serve Him, but part of serving is make it to Olam Haba. He wants to see you there, right? That's where He wants to see you. So that our kavana when we daven or when and all these things, all these sukkah that the Nevi'im weren't happy, they weren't samech b'chalkam, you know, it was because they sensed that this lack is the bria is not b'shleimut, and Rebbe Shlomo wants the bria b'shleimut, and they're really davening and crying and complaining for tzar hashchina, right? And when we daven also, it's not about our pain or our frustration, we have to feel tzar hashchina. But now Ronnie is raising, you know,
it's an example
that there's no Beis HaMikdash in the world. So now this is the amazing thing. We have to realize that we're in the worst goals. We are in the worst goals, right? Because the Gemara in Sota says that with Chorban HaBayit all bracha went. Now maybe Biden is helping us, right? Bidenomics is saving us, right? Now I'll explain to you why. Because with $5 gas, right, $5 gallon gas, you know the world is not b'shlemus. You have to understand that the fact that we could think that we've got it all and we're not feeling tzar hashchina, that there's no Beis HaMikdash on earth and there's no nevuah, right? And the apikorsim laugh at us, right? Right? This material abundance is mamish from the Sitra Achra, making us think that a world that is totally broken is kilu b'shleimut, right? And we have to understand that the prosperity of 21st century America is all from the Sitra Achra, because it is making us think that a broken world is shalem.
Wow. Yeah.
So we have to stand that, you know, that, you know, we have to say that because we have to be thinking Tzar Hashchina. You know, if I'm happy, right, because I have my my junk food, right, right, and I get it on demand, right, the Rebbe Shlomo's not happy. He can't be happy with the world as it is, right? And you know, the prosperity that we have now is kol kulo, you know, just making the Hester Punim worse. There's no bigger Hester Punim than to pass off, a broken world, broken in the eyes of God, is something being fixed. And that's the covenant we have to have, you know, because we have to feel broken, because if we see the world through the lenses of God, right, the world's very, very broken. Right, there is a sefer from the Mittler Rebbe, Derech Chaim, you know, from the son of the Baal Tanya, and he writes an interesting thing in the Hakdama to the sefer, that you say there's no bracha if you work on Shabbat, right? Let's say, right, and crime doesn't pay. You know, tell it to the Bidens. You know, they'll laugh at you. And say, sure it does, right? Right. You know, what do you mean? I'll show you all the money I made by working on Shabbat. Right? Chassid Shalom, what's the answer to that? He says, that's not real money. That's monopoly money. That's counterfeit money. It's because it's not from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yeah. Parnasa that you get from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Parnasa that's Kotzuv, May Rosh Hashanah Le Rosh Hashanah, that since it's from God, it's real. So it doesn't just pay your bills in Olam Hazeh. There's a certain amount of Ruchni substance to it. It's a kesher with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That parnasa is with you la'ad l'netzach netzachim. It's a kesher. It's a kesher. He says that money that's made on Shabbos from it. He says the lashon of the Mittler Rebbe. It's mirakiyeh shav v'sheker. It comes from the firmaments of illusion. It's not real money. So just because the idiot in the makolet will take it for in exchange for the milk doesn't mean it's real.
Yerushi bracha the money.
What?
You don't see bracha in the
Yes, but bracha means also that you know, ruchni bracha. The parnasa that's miyadosha kodesh baruch hu, it's real. It's more than just the three dimensions that you see. Right? The money you get for Zillah, it may, you know, solve your bills, but it's like basically going and shopping with counterfeit money. So Rakiye Shav V'Sheker. Right?
You say the olam is broken.
Yes.
Now, on the other hand, we are always כל זמן שאנחנו לומדים תורה, אנחנו מחזיקים את העולם. So when, on the other hand, I mean, we have today, Baruch Hashem, we have way many more yeshivot. We learn more Torah than what we used to,
yes,
you know, in the past. So how can you say it's broken? On the other hand, we are actually learning more and more.
Okay. First of all. You know, as much as we're learning, not necessarily learning enough, right?
Yeah.
Because Mashiach hasn't come and the Beis Hamikdash hasn't been restored. Nevuah hasn't come back yet, right? Yeah, but I'll tell you something that I heard from my Rebbe, Moshe Shapira, a story from the Rav Miponovich, Ponovich Rav, the one who built Bnei Brak. You know, he was a Palit Mishoah, he was a survivor of the Holocaust, came and rebuilt Torah. And he, at the end of his life, he just kept on, he went around the world fundraising and built Ponovich and built other branches and built up Bnei Brak, right? Just to rebuild Torah, rebuild Torah. So he was walking with someone, taking a shpatzir, taking a walk, and the person said to him, you know, Navi says, Lo Rav, Yinei Yamin Bayin Hashem, Shlachti Rav Baretz, Lo Rav Alechem, Latzayim, Kim Shvat Hashem. So we have hunger in the world. But not for bread and not for, but lishmo advar Hashem. And Chazal considered that a klala. Kishnichasu rabotenu lekerem biavne gemar shabbos amru atida torah shetishakach b'Yisrael. We're going to forget torah shenemar lo rava alechem lo tzai kim lishmo advar Hashem. It's not good that they made it into all these songs. Chazal called it, it's a curse. It's a curse. It's a poor atida torah shetishakach b'Yisrael. Shem alor. So I'm sure everyone has their, you know, the wonderment I see on your face was exactly the question that the brother raised. You know, it doesn't sound too bad. People being hungry for Torah. Sounds good, right? So, right? And Parshav told him, you know, when a person's really hungry, he gets satisfied with very little. Right? Anything's good. He's really hungry. He'll eat dirt. Or he'll eat very little. Right? The Rebbe Baruch Shem doesn't want us eating Torah like hungry people. One morsel, a little Mishnah here, halacha there, you know, and a little bit, not too deep. The Rebbe Baruch Shem wants us to be full on Torah, right? With an unsatiable appetite, right? Just wanting it more and more in quantity and quality, right? So yeah, we're learning more. We're not learning enough. We're learning more, but we're learning like hungry people that you're so grateful for your 40 minutes a day or whatever it is, or you know, having the daf read to you rapid fire, you know, without any omek, right?
Yeah. 23 minute daf.
What?
23 minute daf.
All right. So okay. So the pashut, the Rebbe Baruch Shem doesn't want us to eat Torah like the person who's really hungry with a shriveled stomach, right? As I said, unsatiable appetite, right? More and more, be demanding. Over there, we're supposed to be demanding, right? All right, so that's we have to realize that when we daven, and you wonder, what am I, this daven is asking, or don't I have enough? You have to think about the Rebbe Baruch Shem. The Rebbe Baruch Shem wants you to have more. Well, seemingly there is enough. Well, not in Bidenomics, and that's how it's helping us, right? But I have enough, but you have to ask yourself whether it can't be that you have it good be'emet on a multidimensional level if the Rebbe Baruch Shem doesn't have it good. He doesn't have what he wants. He doesn't have a base of mitzvah on earth. He doesn't have nevuah. See, if we're living in a certain time that lefi marit ayin has prosperity, there's something very wrong with that prosperity. It must be from the rakiyeh shav v'sheker, the Midler Rebbe talks about, because it can't be. It can't be, because it can't be that we're rich and Rebbe Baruch Shem Chasam is poor, because he didn't get what he wants. So we have to pierce the shield, and the tsar that we express in those approaches is supposed to be an expression of empathizing with tsar hashchina. I'll just end off with one more thought. It's already a Takanat Ezra HaSofer. From the beginning of Bayit Sheni, we have to read Parshat Ki Tavo before Rosh Hashanah. We should hear the Tochacha before Rosh Hashanah. So this is ancient, it's a halacha. So even when, to explain this, once upon a time we used to finish the Chumash, once every 3 years. Which means they still partied on Shmini Atzeret. They just didn't call it Simchat Torah. No, it was always a big simcha, because it's just us and Hashem. All the umos went home, but there was a time when they used to finish the Torah once every 3 years. So during that time, they would read the tocha of Ki Tavo as maftir, when it was. But now we worked it out, we aligned it, right? But I think there's also a message from the beginning of the parsha, going back to the reshit. We do have one thing that's like Bikurim. Rosh Hashanah, right? Rosh Hashanah, the whole year follows Rosh Hashanah. And to the extent that we're Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Rosh Hashanah, and that's the meaning of the Simanim, that everything that we have should be connected. Siman is to make a connection. It connects the lost item with its rightful owner. Simanim is also how we identify a corpse, Rahman al-San. Also, halach of simanim. That's halach of simanim deraisa. God forbid a person's head is cut off, but you want to be matir his wife. You shouldn't be an aguna. So other simanim, but he had birthmarks that we know, simanim connect things back to, right? So that's the end of the simanim that we eat on Leil Rosh Hashanah, that we want that the whole Shana should remain connected to the Rosh of being Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Rosh Hashanah is like the one thing that we have that's reminiscent of Bikurim. Because he said that on the Rosh Hashanah, that's our Reshit, that we really Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu Be'emet, and that's the meaning of the Simanim, that we ask for Parnasa and the Simanim, to keep the Simanim, the Parnasa connected, right? The Rosh Hashanah is like our Bikurim, the extent that we have a good Rosh Hashanah, we'll feel a time of it, of how the rest of the Shana follows the Rosh. L'chaim!
Chaim.